in the name of our Lord, the name that was spoken over us in our baptism, adopting us into the family of God, the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this beautiful day, this gorgeous day, and these wonderful people, Lord, who have all been able to gather in your presence. And Lord, as you have promised, that you would never leave us alone, that you would be with us always, Lord, we pray that you would be here among us. Send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and minds, that we may receive this word that we receive today, and that it may embed itself deep in our minds, Lord, and that you would be able to call it up to our remembrance, Lord, in the moments we need it. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. Help us, Lord, to love and trust you more every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins and receive absolution for them. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us return praise to this God who has so graciously forgiven us.
I want to give like you, Lord. Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege this morning to share the first scripture reading with you. From the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 26 through 34. He said also, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, 'What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade.' With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything."
Thank you, Brian. It's now time for the children's message, and today it is Kathy Frazier, our preschool director, has the message this morning. Children, you're welcome to come to the front if you'd like, and parents, if you don't want them to, you can keep them where they are. Either way, it's just fine.
Good morning. Come on up. Or stay where you are. That's fine, too. Well, I wanted to show you something that I learned about myself. I tried working on a project a few weeks ago, and I learned something about myself. I'm not very good at growing plants. This one kind of died. I think it used to be like that. It died a horrible death, didn't it? I'm not very good at doing this. Do you guys know why my plant died? No. What do you think a plant needs to grow and be healthy and not turn into a stick?
Water. What,
it needs water. Okay, what else?
Sun.
Anything?
Light.
What'd you say? Light. Sunlight, yep, it needs sunlight, it needs water, and I had it in this pot, but what does my pot need in it?
Water.
Well, it needs water, and it needs sun,
but
and what else? What's that brown stuff it has to grow in?
It's going to sink, it's a hole.
There is a hole. Doesn't it need dirt, too?
Yes.
It needs dirt, too. Now, how do I give all of those things to that plant?
I don't know.
Can I just put it around the plant and it figures it out?
No.
No? What about the water? I mean, with my dog, I can just put a bowl of water out and my dog drinks the water.
Yes, like we.
Do plants do that? Can I just put a bowl of water next to it? No, that doesn't work. I have to pour the water in, don't I? Well, can I just do that one time? Can I water a plant one time?
Yes.
Or do I have to keep watering it?
Keep watering it.
Keep watering it?
Yes.
Oh.
That's what my mom does.
That's what your mom does? I should probably take some tips from her.
All the time.
All the time? Okay. So, well, that's kind of like our Bible story today. Did you guys hear what we just read? Jesus is talking to the people around him about how small seeds grow into big plants. And he points out that when plants get what they need, like sun and dirt and water, the plants grow big and strong and turn into helpful things for the animals, like giving them shade and food. But Jesus isn't just giving us plant advice, is he? No. Jesus is also talking about plants and how they grow, because the same thing is true for plants is true for us with God too. Just like a plant grows when it has water and soil and sunlight, we grow in God when we worship, when we pray, and when we listen to Bible stories. And even though these things might seem kind of little, kind of small, All together, they help us to grow and get God's love, God's light, and his life will grow in us as well. And when we're filled with God's love and light and life, that means we have his love, light, and life to share with other people as well. And that's our good news for today. So let's fold our hands and pray. Can you guys pray? Keep praying. Say, dear God, thank you for Jesus, who shows us how to grow in you so that we may have God's love, God's light, and God's life. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Maybe I can try again on another plant, too.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And it is now time for a little worship, so anyone 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross right over here on this aisle, and you guys are going to get some teaching just for you, and the rest of us are going to be right here. Scripture verse for today is Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel's an interesting book to speak out of, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but it's Ezekiel 17, verses 22 to 24. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar tree and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it, and they will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Ezekiel had a really interesting ministry. It was a very difficult job that he had because the people that he was given to serve were a very rebellious and stubborn people. They did not want to submit to God. You know, God was very, very clear about his expectation, about what he wanted his people to be. He remember the deal that God made with Abraham and with Moses way back in the days of old when God made his covenant with the people, and God's covenant basically boiled down to, I will be your God. I will be the one who leads you, protects you, provides for you, and you will be my people. You will listen to me and follow me and basically do what I say. And the children of Israel were very unfaithful. They did not submit to God. They came up with their own logic, their own reason, their own best ideas, their own understanding of how the world would work and the best ways to go about living life. And a lot of these decisions led them to do things that were not moral. It led them to do things that were not that followed after other gods. You know, that they just did whatever they felt was right rather than listening to what God had to say. And God sent prophet after prophet to work among his people and to call them to repentance, to remind them of what their job was, what it meant to be in a covenant with him. And the people refused to listen. And finally, the prophets started to prophesy, you know, doom. Bad things were coming if you don't turn around. Because in spite of the people of God being faithless, God remained faithful and continued to bless his people. But he basically had to tell them, look, this has got to come to an end. If you're going to insist on not acknowledging me as your God, then at some point I'm going to confirm your decision and I will withdraw my support from you. And the way that the form that finally took was the kingdom of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, And God was very theatrical about what he was doing. One of the prophets had a vision where the Shekinah, the presence of God, moved from the temple and headed east toward Babylon. That God was literally moving over to Babylon and using them to do his work. And what the prophets told the people of Israel is, guys, it's done. Babylon is coming. Submit to God's judgment. And the people refused to submit. At least they were consistent. You know, I mean, they lived, they went down just like they lived. They fought God at every turn, at every step along the way. And when Babylon came the first time, they fought and Babylon punished them and took their king into captivity, put the king's son on the throne as a puppet government. And if they would have listened to God at that point, what they would have done is submit to Babylon, because God has basically said, Babylon is now my tool and you're going to submit to me, which means you're going to submit to Babylon. But the king, he decided to resist. He decided to make a deal with, try to pursue a deal with the Pharaoh in Egypt, because he saw that the Egyptians had this great big army, you know, probably as strong as Babylon. And the king thought, hey, if I can get Egypt to be on my side, we can fight off these people. Problem is, what he found himself doing was fighting God. And God wasn't going to be overcome that easily. And so that's what this parable is all about. That right before this text, at the first part of chapter 17, there's this parable, and it talks about an eagle that God sends to take a sprig off of the top of a tree and plant it on a high mountain. And then that eagle provided everything necessary for that plant to grow and to flourish. But then another eagle showed up, and instead of relying on the first eagle, the plant chose to rely on the second eagle. And basically the end of the story is the first eagle tore the plant to pieces, because it wasn't even faithful then. And that's basically the metaphor for exactly what the children of Israel had just done. The first eagle was Babylon, the second eagle was Egypt. And Ezekiel now has the wonderful job of telling the children of Israel, who have just been kicked once, that they're about to be decimated, because they refuse to submit to God's will. You know, the amazing thing about this story is that Israel ever came back. The fact that they were so rebellious, the fact that they were so obstinate, so unwilling to do anything that God said, the fact that the children of Israel were able to come back out of captivity is absolutely astounding. They certainly did not deserve it. And you ask the question, well, why did they? And, two reasons. Number one, because our God is merciful. And our God is gracious. Our God loves us and gives us better than we deserve. Our God loves his people and continues to do everything he can to call his people back into the relationship that he intended for them to have in the first place. That's just the nature of our God, the one that we follow, the one who is the God of all creation. But there's another reason, and that's this. Part of this covenant that God created with the children of Israel back in the time of Moses and Abraham was the covenant that it wasn't just that the children of Israel were going to be God's chosen nation and holy people, but it was going to be through this nation that the Messiah would come and that all the whole world would be blessed. Here's the thing that we have to understand about this crazy story and the amazing grace that God showed the children of Israel in spite of their unbelievable unfaithfulness is that when God saved them, when God rebuilt the kingdom of Israel, he was preserving his plan of salvation for all of us. I mean, the reason that God allowed, or it was, how can I say that? The reason that God humbled himself to serve people who refused to follow him was what was necessary so that you and I can be saved today. And to see this incredible grace that God has for his people is such an important thing for us to see today as well. Today we have a lot of the same problems that the children of Israel were having. As a people, as a culture, we are wandering and wandering fast. Instead of turning to God and asking him and seeking his wisdom, his knowledge, his law, his understanding and conforming our lives to his purposes, we really truly just make it up. We do what we think. We do what feels right to us in the moment. The way the Bible says it is each man follows their own heart. We lean on our own understanding. And the Bible tells us so clearly that we should be leaning on the Lord's understanding. And we as a people are faithless. We turn our back on God. We make excuses for all the things that we want to do and the way we want to live. And we're not submitting ourselves to him. And it's not just as a people, I mean, because that gives us some kind of insulation, doesn't it? I mean, we can talk about the culture and then we pretend we're not part of it. You know, so that kind of gives us some kind of cover. But the fact is that we all, in places in our lives, are rebelling against God. When we choose to sin, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's basically to say, yes, God, I know that you don't want me to do this, but I really think it's the better idea, so I'm going to go this way anyway. And when we do that, we're being absolutely every bit as unfaithful as the children of Israel were. And you know, I love to look back at the Old Testament and even the time of Jesus, you know, when God is interacting with his people, and when you get a really strong reaction from God, it really tells you the things that really, really grieve him, really, really bother him, the things that God just hates, right? And this kind of rebellion, with the story that we're talking about today, the history that we're talking about today, how do you think God feels about this kind of rebellion? That he took his people into captivity, into a land that was not their own, because they were rebelling against him. Rebelling against God isn't a small thing. It's big. It's dangerous. It's very troublesome. And so, what do we do with our rebellion? Well, Ezekiel's message to the children of Israel was very simple. It was turn. Turn from this. Stop rebelling. Repent. Bring your sins to God and receive the forgiveness that he so desperately wants to give you. And it's the same message that we have today. Folks, as you guys, I mean, I would love to be able to preach the perfect sermon that would pick at every single one of your scabs, all the places in your life where you're hurting, where you're resisting God and where you're rebelling against him. But the thing is it's an impossible sermon because all of us are different. We all have different lives. We all have different weaknesses. And you know yours. If you don't, pray that the Holy Spirit would show you yours. He is faithful. He will show you. And the question is, well, what do you do with it? And the answer is, you take it to God. The sin, the weakness, the burden, the weakness that we have in ourselves, that thing that we struggle with, that I'm a rather mean person sometimes. I like to tease people and stuff. And one of the things I like to do with really little children is put tape in their hands. Have you ever done this? It's kind of fun. You have to take it out of their hands before they start crying. That's what I figured out, because they get frustrated. You take tape and you loop it like you're going to stick something on the wall, and you put it in their fingers, and they struggle because they want to put it down, but the tape sticks to them, right? And so they let go, and then they pick the other, they get it off one hand, and it's stuck to the other hand, and it's a puzzle. And children can't overcome those puzzles, and so it's a little bit frustrating for them. Thing is this, that's a great metaphor for a sin. That we have these sins, these weaknesses, these places in our lives where sin clings to us, and we desperately want to get rid of it, but we struggle and struggle and struggle with that sin. And the trouble with the reason that we're going to continue to struggle with that sin is because we try to deal with it alone. And the answer for the child and for us is to get help from somebody who can solve the problem that we can't figure out. And so my encouragement to you is that as you struggle with this sin, as you acknowledge your rebellion, as you realize that the things that we are doing in our lives are turning away from God and putting up obstacles between us and God and causing us to be more interested in following after this thing, this whatever this is, than God himself, to humble ourselves and to bring those things to God, to repent, to turn away from those things, to ask God, the God who has brought us through all these things up until now, the God who has promised to be with us always, the God who has promised to give us strength, the God who has given us strength through the gift of communion, that through his word, that this God who lives in us in his spirit, to remember that God is faithful, even when we are not. And that he is here to forgive our sins, yes. He is also here to help us as we struggle with our sins. And we look forward to the day when we will be able to be free of all of that. The day when we get to stand in his presence in the company of all those who have believed in the name of the one who died for us. Finally free. The day is coming. But until it comes, we continue to trust in the God who saves, the God who redeems, and the God who is faithful. Faithful to us. Faithful to his people. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today and we're full of weakness. We're full of rebellion. We're full of really being impressed with our own logic and our own answers. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to turn away from all of that and turn toward you, that you would be our light, that you would be the one who guides, that you would be the source of our truth, the only truth, the real truth. That you would be our merciful God who is faithful. Help us, Lord, to lean on your faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen. My dear friends, as we let's now respond to this incredible love that God has revealed to us in song. Let us now stand as we confess our faith using the explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house, home, spouse, children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. All right, my friends, as we are, we're in the middle now of VBS. It's kind of a strange year, once again. And so basically what we did is this year, this past week, we had 120 kids come for 3 days. And this coming week, we're going to have about 100 kids come for another 3 days, different kids. Some of the kids who came the first week are helping in the second week. So it's going to be, it's really amazing. It's wonderful to see what God is doing. Much fewer kids than we normally have for VBS, but you know what? It's a strange year, and we'll just continue to pray that God blesses us with a full house and a more normal schedule next year. But good things are happening, and it's an exciting time. Let's see here. What else is there? This is also a week set aside for keeping our first responders in our prayers, and so we want to be praying for them this week as well. And that's about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us into your house, Lord, making it possible for us to be your children, to be able to call you Father, Lord, to spend this time in your presence, speaking to you, knowing that you will hear us, Lord, not because we deserve it, but because you have made it possible through the death and resurrection of your Son, and that we now, because of the faith that you have given us, Lord, that we have received his righteousness. And so we can stand before you and call you Father. And Lord, as your children, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity to reach out to all these little children from our church, from the community, that we have this chance to speak your gospel and to proclaim your love into their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to work in and among them, Lord, that they and their families can be blessed and nourished in their faith and brought into a close relationship with you, Lord, a lifelong growing relationship with you, Lord, where they learn better to love and trust you every day. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who serve us, Lord, so selflessly. Lord, the first responders, those paramedics and firefighters, police, all those people, Lord, who make it possible for us to be able to be cared for during difficult times. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, bless their families, protect them, keep them safe, help them get home to their families every night. And Lord, I pray that you would be their rock, their shelter, the one that they can count on, Lord, when the rest of the world is absolutely crazy, that they know that you are the constant, the one who is always with them, that never stops loving, that never stops forgiving. Lord, I pray that you would bless them in every way. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our teachers, Lord. Some are still working and teaching, and others are at rest, Lord, as the school year is over. I pray that you would bless them no matter what they are doing. Those who are at rest, that they would be able to rejuvenate themselves and regroup after these crazy years so that they can return to teaching your children and bringing them to the knowledge of your truth. But Lord, also that those who are working would be able to have that endurance and the ability to just continue to show up and continue to love with the love that they have received from you. Lord, I pray that you would bless our ministries as we continue to serve the people that you love. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, trusting in you, knowing that you are going to guide us and protect us. And we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." My friends, we have received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's an amazing thing. The body of God himself given for us so that we can live with him forever. And this blessing that he has given us comes with a promise: forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And so as we have received this gift, and because our God is faithful, we receive the promise: depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing as well. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand as we sing the final song together.
This is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Lose a vision here, carried away by the motion. Hold on to all that you hide in your hearts. There is one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside him, we know. Oh, God is in control. Oh, God is in control. Remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside.
Wonderful worshiping with you folks this morning. We just pray that God would continue to be with you all week long. Well, he will be with you all week long. We just got to remember that. So I pray you remember that then. God's blessings on your week, and I'll meet you in the back.